Did life moves pretty fast release something this week?
No, I don't think so. The last one they did was the
Madhouse cat one. Comedy one.
Which, I don't think they listened to this show yet either, because I ripped them pretty hard. Was that the baseball? Was that with Matt that I ripped them?
It was, yeah. Cause I was
well, then we ripped Dallas. Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, that was fun. That was good.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was good.
So I imagine that it's been rolling this whole time. I'd imagine.
Probably.
I don't know when Todd's
probably with no B or A or B probably, another B.
Probably.
Probably.
So Todd's gonna pick a starting point at some point in there. But what's up, dude?
Well, God, man, this is like this is a remarkably busy time of year.
Yeah.
I'm going a little crazy.
All right. Why is that?
This is so ridiculous, but so my arthritis has been bugging me.
We all got arthritis.
I'm gonna ask Carmen to my therapist there to. You should listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
we talk about you.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's been bothering me.
Is it just from like the cold to hot, or is it like
I'm not 100% sure? And there's
doing
like
a lot of weird things in your body, doing like up and downs with the pools.
I'm doing a lot of ups
stuff.
And downs. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of ups and downs. And so there's that. I've been working a lot when I'm not working at SeaWorld. I've been working for my brother.
Yeah.
Just trying to get
TLC
it top.
TLC pools.
TLC pools. Yep.
Need a pool clean in East County. Hit up TLC pools.
If you tell them you heard about Life's a Binge, you'll get your first month free.
Speaking of,
is that right?
He said something like that.
Something like that. But if you need a pool service, and you live in East County, San Diego,
yeah, hit it up.
TLC it up pools. So I've been cleaning filters, which have been going pretty good for the most part. But it's man work. It's manual work where you get your fingernails dirty, you get your hands all dirty, and
it's a pain in the butt.
You got to take one of those showers with lava soap and scrub it out,
and it all turns brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we just got a roommate, Rachel, who's just moved in a couple days ago. But before that, we had to clean out the entire.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was like moving.
Yeah.
And so that was a hell of a lot of work, and I had to clean out the entire garage to make room for everything that's in the spare room for the garage, plus some of her new other stuff. And it's just been a hell of a lot of work over the last few weeks.
Well, that's just like the regular work event, or that's the outside of regular work stuff. You also went through all the rehearsals, and you open up like seven
And then plus, that's not to mention, working,
right,
which for the most part has been not too bad.
Right.
But it
but
is,
it's still work.
It's still work, and it's still like, 8 hours. Half of which or more is on your feet doing stuff. But it's been good. Seven Seas is great, dude, because I just kind of get to be me,
right,
and just be charming. And it's like, that's my job, is to be charming.
Right.
And
makes you think you're charming?
Kinda, I'm just guessing.
It's kind of egotistical of you.
Yeah, right? I know. But I have to believe it. Well, as an actor, you have to believe it.
I just get to be me. Super charming. Like, it's just. I can charm the pants off of anybody. Like, literally, I'm like, hey, go eat some of this cave-aged cheese and give me your pants. And they're like, here's the pants.
And what else was there? The cheese. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But pretty much.
It's true though. Like, yeah.
So last year was all Polynesian. So that last year was so much fun and so.
Are they doing that again?
They're doing it again, but they didn't put me in there.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, come on, man.
Right.
And so, but it's fine. It's totally fine. But it was cool, like, to see those the
people again.
The Ohana, all the Polynesian groups, the Hialeah's Polynesian Review and the Pride of Polynesia, and
that's awesome. They're all back.
Taupo, Samoa, yeah.
Nice.
And so, yeah. So I went over there on Sunday. I didn't get to go over on Saturday, but I went over on Sunday, and they're just all big hugs and big love.
That's
and
so great.
And just dishing all the love out to me. It was great. Made me feel so good.
That's awesome.
And so that, and now I'm just being charming in California, the California stage.
Oh, nice. Do you have to go up on stage and introduce the bands and stuff?
Yep. And all the bands are like acoustic acts, so it's all chill.
Nice.
Which has given me a lot of like inspiration for post BJ and Todd stuff.
Got it. So just BJ.
Is that what it would be?
Here I am, BJ.
I guess so.
BJ and.
But I'm noticing that, like, yeah, are you familiar with what's his name? The Ed, not is it Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
The redhead, mm-hmm. redhead guy.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the shape of mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
So, and so do you know, you've seen him do his thing? So he has like a guitar.
Oh, his
and
little,
he has a little like effects board mm-hmm. and he like loops and, right. and he does, and so he's really like made that popular.
I thought, what's her name?
There's been other people who've done it for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely, he's, that. He's.
The, what's that song? It was a cherry tree. What's that song?
Oh,
that's the one that I know. That's the first lady that I saw do it.
With the cherry tree. Yeah, I know who you mean.
I saw her do it with her little like footboard and like doing loops
And like
stuff.
Whacking the like guitar, giving a little
yeah,
rhythm,
and then it like so, loops over. Yeah,
I gotta get that just because. Not only that, I think I might like stay in my house for
oh,
two,
yeah, you'd
3 weeks.
Never leave.
Yeah,
like,
you're like,
yeah, and then it just goes. You're like, yeah. Oh, great. I just. It created him a beat.
It made me think that I'm Andy from The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Where he makes his whole, like, outgoing does, message.
Yeah,
like,
but it's with, all a cappella, but yeah, it's all him.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, six different voices. It's all me. Yeah.
Recorded that myself.
So, yeah. But, so anyway, that's what's going on.
Nice.
And,
I'm just delivering mail. That's about it for me.
That's it, man.
That's it. Planning a wedding, delivering mail.
And you went up to LA, which is nice.
Yeah, I did do that. That was fun. And I got my motorcycle up and running. It's like I drove it today. Again, not here.
I had a thought for a moment that you were going to pick me up on
so
your motorcycle. And I'm like, are
so
you sure?
Funny.
And I was picturing like me holding on to you on the freeway. And I'm like, I don't know, dude.
We can do it.
I would be terrified, but you know what? You only live once.
Yeah,
so,
we can do it.
And then that's how you die.
But so, no, I drove my car.
So,
but it does work again, which is exciting because I've been trying to make sure that it works. And now it does. And I drove it all day today except for over here.
I had this weird like recurring dream every so often that I have a motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
like that. It's just there, and it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, like, oh, I could just take my motorcycle.
Yeah, it's bitching. Like, it's always a good option, because especially right now, I was like, man, if I just want to like jaunt to the store, like, just hop on the bike and like, brrr, it's like perfect weather outside. Like, just put my vest on, like, wind blowing through. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah,
it's the best.
In when I was little in South Carolina, like a lot of the kids had motorbikes.
Oh yeah,
and
like dirt bike things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But there were motorcycles.
Yeah.
Like these are motorcycles.
That's true. I had one when I was a kid.
And so like they'd let your buddies drive it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like just driving it like, and I could, it wasn't leaning and I wasn't steering and it was like woo, and it just went up on the curb and up and over, and. Yeah,
and that was the end of that.
Never again.
Because
I still like part of me like riding a motorcycle. That would be so badass.
It is great. It's terrifying at sometimes, but it's great, 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 great.
And that, you know, a book that I read.
Oh no!
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
One of the many.
Yeah,
like Fail
two.
Safe.
Yeah,
and other ones. Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Huh.
They, you know, there's a whole extraordinarily deep. Like a parallel story that's going on about a philosopher and his impression, his search for quality in the world and what that means, and also he's like the current character is a student, and then he goes back and he's reliving some time in the past where he's arguing with his professor about.
This sounds like a very confusing book.
It's a deep confusing book. But there's a storyline that goes on where he's on a road trip on his motorcycle.
Nice.
And he talks about when you're in a car, you're kind of seeing what's going. You're seeing a picture of what's going by. It's like a frame,
right.
You know, of your through your window of what's happening. But when you're on a motorcycle, you are immersed in what's happening around you.
It's very true.
Like, and so you're moving through your scenery in a way that you just is not. You can't do in a car.
Yeah, it's bitching. It's the best.
So.
Except for today. Like, I was driving down the street. I was driving down Mission Gorge, and I was at a red light. And when the light turns green, motorcycles have a lot more power off the line than mm-hmm. a car does. So that's why, like, you'll see, like, people scoot forward because we can go. Like, we mm-hmm. just go. And that's no it's not fault it's just the way of anybody. It is.
Like, you're light, just, you're powerful.
Faster, yeah. Right, bye. And so I was just in the front. I didn't, like, cut to the front. I was in the front. The light turned green, and I just started going. And then this idiot, like, way up the road, like, tries to pull into a driveway, but there's a car in the driveway already. So it's this big, like, F-250 that's literally, like, blocking two lanes. And I'm like,
there's my fear.
Here I am coming 40. Like, the speed limit's 50, and I'm coming 40, like, off the line. And this is, like, ways down, so I can see it coming. And I'm like, thank God I'm faster, because I just looked over my shoulder. There's nobody there, and I could, like, swerve all around them. Uh-huh. But it was like, if there was cars on my left or whatever, it would have been, like, brake time. Hopefully I stop and don't skid.
So have you ever laid it down?
One time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you wearing, like, leathers and
oh,
stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And so did you get tore up at all?
Nope. Not one, nothing.
No pain?
Nope. Nothing at all.
Huh.
I did it right. It was an accident. I didn't do it on purpose. I was turning.
You weren't trying to lay it down. Trying to lay it down to stay.
I was
stop.
Turning, and there was like an oil slick or something, and my rear tire went out, and I was like, "Well, here I go.
This is how I die."
Basically, and because I knew what I was doing, I like, had training and everything. It was just uh-huh. like, just pull hard. Like, if you're going to go down, a lot of people will break, and then that's how you high side, because, like, it tries to correct itself, and you'll just fly over
the top.
Right, but when it started happening, it was
you
like...
You pull down in the butt, and you stay stay behind it.
Yep.
Okay, that's
so
smart.
I knew it was coming, and I felt it. I felt the bike go, and I was like, well, this is going to happen. If your instinct is to slam on the brakes. To like,
right.
I need to stop. But because I knew what to do, it was just like, okay, I'm going.
Here
we go.
Down.
Just go for it. It's like a baseball slide. Mm-hmm. If you, like, think about it too much, you'll, like, hit your knee, and you'll, like, tumble forward.
Right.
But if you just commit to it, then you just slide and, like, you land on your hip.
And with,
like,
practice,
no big deal.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You know exactly what's going on.
So that's basically what happened.
That's a, you know, that's a fear of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fear of, I think, probably a lot of people that keep them from riding motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, like...
It's the worst.
You're gonna wreck and you're gonna die.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's terrifying.
And I've had a couple, like,
not only that, but like the car, like everyone else is the problem. Like, I know what I'm doing to be safe on my bike 100% right. of the time, but then there's like no one cares or sees. He's just like, I'm just gonna pull into this driveway.
Dude, plus they're jerks on the road, just like dude, assholes. Yep. The way they drive, like it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough when I'm driving to like not kill somebody, like. Mm-hmm. Not like you, mother.
Yeah.
Look at driving like that, and they're like, I have to come cut you and teach you a lesson.
Right. Right.
Not necessarily beat you up, but give you such a talking to that you're going to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
And then maybe beat you up.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was a big tangent of an intro for us.
Motorcycles, baby.
Motorcycles and arthritis.
So let's talk about Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And there's no famous arthritis movies.
Cocoon, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm sure they have arthritis.
You never rolled and you never died.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have arthritis. but anyway, go to visit our website, Life's a Binge. You know what? Visit us on Facebook.
Yeah, do our Facebook.
Hit us up
and send
on
us
Facebook.
Send them some messages.
Yeah, do something. Interact. We haven't had an interaction in a while.
Yeah.
I'm calling you out, listeners, whoever's out there anymore.
I have a favorite page.
Yeah. Send us a link or send
turns
us
out
a...
We're just talking to ourselves.
Hey, whatever.
I'll listen. I'll listen every week.
You know what? I've been doing better at Twitter, but I'm doing it on
really?
I'm doing my own Twitter. I need to do Life's a Binge Twitter.
Well, no, you got to get the hang of it, though. Like,
but
I've never tweeted for
I'm
Life's
doing
a Binge. Be-
and then I set it up to go to my Facebook because I'm trying to not do Facebook as much,
mm-hmm.
Even though I go on it all the time.
Right.
But I'm still trying to not do it. I don't have it on my, like, home screen of apps. You know how you get, like, the
right.
four main ones or whatever that don't move?
Uh-huh.
It's not down there anymore.
On your phone?
Or- yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's off. I have to like go find it if I'm going to use it,
right.
which
I do.
The stupidest thing, but it's not right
I
there.
Find it.
It's not like a go-to thing. But I love Facebook and I love seeing families and pictures and stuff. But there was it just got toxic, and so that's why I'm like, you know what, just take it slow. I'm not gonna like delete it or anything because
yeah.
like. Let's not be dramatic.
Right. And if you were, you'd let everybody
oh,
know.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, in 1 week, in 12 days, why didn't you just say, never mind. It doesn't matter how I word it, okay? I'm just letting you know that in 1 week, in 12 days, I will be deleting this Facebook account. So if you need me, be sure and get my phone number from me before then.
It's right.
Like, okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Don't care. I won't see your one post a month anymore.
Yeah.
I probably didn't see it anyway because like it's not in my not in my filtered
whatever the algorithm
feed.
Is. Yeah, whatever the algorithm that decides what I see. You're like, oh, you're on Facebook, huh?
Yeah, but so I am doing Twitter, so I have my Twitter go to my Facebook page, and I'm trying to do better. Like if I have
still
something
can't
to
get
say,
it. I can't get it.
If I have something to say, I'll tweet it. So anyway.
You know what?
So that's, follow us on Twitter.
That made me think. I've decided, and I think I've decided this before, but even more so, I've been thinking about it more. I'm anti-Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because the president thing?
Because the president's a prick, and he likes to tweet,
yeah.
And I don't want to be like him. But also, if you ever listen to the president speak, he is a reflection of the dumbed-down, like, Twitter world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like 140 characters or less.
Right. Exactly.
Sad.
I want to say something about that once we get started, and then we'll talk about our topic. But
all
anyway,
right, let's get
let's start real quick.
Let's do it.
Life's a binge!
Right?
That's sorry, it. I was being you.
I'm still a little bit ill. Anyway. But... stupid. Better today. It was just a couple days ago we recorded.
It was
just
true.
Like
literally
two days ago.
3 days? 2 days. Whatever. but what you were saying about the Twitter and everything, I find it... how am I going to say this? I like politics.
Right.
I'm not a big political guy, and I don't like necessarily talking about politics forever, but I enjoy politics.
Right.
And I turn on the TV... Yesterday evening, maybe. No, it was this morning.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to watch something on the DVR, but it wasn't there because like, I had the day off and Samantha had, she went into work at noon because it's Wednesday. She works at noon on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like sitting there, like we're going to watch something while we're eating breakfast. And I went to turn on the TV and whatever it was on the DVR wasn't there. And I was like, oh, whatever else. Oh, look, Price is Right is on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always good at 10 o'clock.
Right.
I turned it on, wasn't Price is Right. It was some thing like Trump meeting with somebody, some foreign leader.
That wasn't Drew Carey.
No, I think it was like an Iranian leader. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Some foreign leader. And it was like the very tail end of the other guys talking. And then Trump was like, I'm going to fix it. 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 ISIS is a problem. I'm going to fix it. Like, literally, that's basically what he said. Over and over and over and over and over again. And normally, let's say 2 years ago, if I would have turned on, Price is Right. Let's click, because that's what the guide says.
Right.
And click on it. And it's like special, whatever, live interruption or whatever. And you're like, oh, man. But okay, let's see what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And just the way that the past president carried himself and spoke and everything, I'd be like, let's see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And within about 2.5 minutes this morning, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Well, you're just saying the same thing over, like, tell us how. Like, even if you don't know, just make something up. Say something more interesting other than the same sentence 18 times in a row.
Because, he doesn't
like,
have details.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Ugh.
It's going to be great.
And normally,
Trust me.
Yeah, and normally I would just sit there and watch it. I'd be like, oh, this is obviously interrupting television because it's important.
Right.
And I could care less. I was like, nope, don't give a shit about what anybody is saying right now. If it's that important, I'll see it on a news feed somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I do not need to watch this happen.
Yeah.
And I changed the channel.
Good for you, man.
I guess. that's unfortunate.
Good for you and bad for all of us because that's where we are.
I even if you like the guy, which I don't think anybody even does anymore, unless you're like super extreme, they don't necessarily regret the decision, but it's just like, yeah.
If they don't yet, they will.
Yeah, but it's just like, what? Like, ugh. I'm like, just say something with meaning. Anything. Where's your speechwriters? How come you don't use the teleprompter? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just like, give me something. Like, if he just like would do a speech and read it off the teleprompter,
I'm sure it capable. Like, I like seriously,
like, sure it wouldn't be that bad.
He's not capable of like wrapping his brain around large concept and like disseminating that and explaining it to a crowd.
It. Yeah. I'm going to fix it.
He's like, I don't really know how, but.
Oh, it's the worst. Anyway, let's talk about our topic that we're going to talk about.
So, the other day.
Which kind of falls in line because it made me sad.
the thing did?
Well, yeah, because like normally, like I said, if it's like interrupting TV, like you're like, ooh, what's happening in the world? This is it's not
special
giving
report.
Me prices right.
Special report. You're like, huh?
Yeah, what's happening?
Go on.
Right. There could have been like a terrorist attack, and mm-hmm. I would have changed the channel because I was like, blech.
Yeah.
Like I was so turned off by like the first minute.
Yeah.
I was like, there could have been something horrible happening, and I changed it. I was like, nope, not important enough.
Not today.
You know what I mean? It's like, how turned off can you make me to where, like, there's a special report that's interrupting otherwise medial TV in the middle of the day.
That reminds me of... Chief Wiggum is watching, like, Ralph and Lisa, like, make up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on the playground, and he's, oh, that's sweet. And then, like, all points, oh, like, there's a, you're calling all cars, something, yeah. You know, we need everyone to respond to a major, but not today. Turns it off and watches the kids.
Oh, that's fantastic. He's the chief, too. That's great.
So, Sunday, maybe two Sundays ago.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, I had, like, a Sunday morning off. It was nice, and Andrea did, too. It's nice. Yep. And I love, like... waking up and having like not an agenda and just kind of like relax and just like let the day kind of unfold, make a big breakfast, you know?
Absolutely.
I like to watch Meet the Press on Sunday, just kind of like get the wrap up of what the week's of events.
Absolutely. Get the things that I skipped over today.
Sometimes I don't have the channels anymore, but when I used to get channel 10, I enjoyed listening to Joel Osteen's sermon on Sunday morning. Okay. Like I just for over the last 10 years, like kind of like oh, I got into his sermon. So on Sunday, I would like kind of dig it.
Sure,
if he had a good one, and a lot of times he had a real good one.
Yeah,
I don't always agree with the mega church thing.
Yeah, they put him on TV for a reason.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like yeah, he's
so. But anyway, so it's like Sunday, like free form Sunday.
Sure.
I'm flipping through HBO, and Do the Right Thing is on HBO.
Okay,
so happy and like I think you've seen it a long time ago, but but I've
long,
seen
long
it
ago.
many times.
Correct,
many times.
Yes.
So I'm watching it, and I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Love this movie.
Yep.
And I'm watching it, and if you don't recall or not, it's like kind of one day in the life of a very hot day in this one neighborhood in Bedford-Stuyvesant, New York City, in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And so the climax of the scene, the climax of the movie is that there's a pizza owner, Danny Aiello's is Sal's Pizza, and he has only Italian Americans on the wall.
Right.
And there's one of the characters booging out who's Giancarlo Esposito, who became famous as a lot of things, but mainly as Gus Fring in Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
is a young, troublester, I guess.
Sure.
And he's trying to organize a boycott. And he gets, as they're closing up, he goes in into the thing with Radio Raheem, playing his Public Enemy Fight the Power song super loud on his radio. And it's this super well done, tense scene that erupts into a fight and erupts into a riot and erupts into a fire. And ends up with police killing the kid.
Right.
And it's super powerful.
Yeah, right.
And I'm watching the scene unfold, and I've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just getting so emotional.
Right.
Super emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like... Just like watching it and you know...
You got like the like actual like breathy cry? Like it,
yeah,
like got you good,
you know, and it's right. Like, and Andrea's like watching me, you know, like, and I'm just like, I'm just like, it's every time, and for whatever reason, it speaks to me like so strongly, and you see, especially throughout the movie, you just kind of see it all kind of happen,
right,
and I just was, and I had to turn it off because I'm like,
I can't do it.
Yeah, I love the whole movie, but like the where it goes to and it gets to a point where it takes you someplace so emotional that like I can't watch it right now. I have to turn that off. And I'm trying to explain it to her. I'm like, I've seen this so many times, right. But
it just
it gets me. Yeah. And again, for whatever reason right now, like it got me. Right. And that movie's 25 years old, you know, or more than that.
That's good.
That's a quality of art. Well, that and is like, super impressive.
Well, and that's good because like you said, like let's talk about like weepy stuff or whatever. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And I like try to think of like movies or TV that were like that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch. I was thinking. And I was like, come on, what's like one? And like I was thinking of stuff like Forrest Gump, where like I will watch Forrest Gump. I've seen Forrest Gump 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch Forrest Gump, at the end of it, like I literally, it doesn't hit me like emotionally,
mm-hmm.
but I am an emotional dude, and like I don't cry, but like I will, tears will fall out of my face at like.
But that's
movies.
Not crying.
No, but it's not like you're where not, like, it hits you emotionally, and like uh-huh. you get the breathing and like the. And like, right. oh man, like, oh Lord, it's just like, oh man, and then all of right. a sudden it's like, wah, wah, here comes
no,
the
I
tears.
Know, there's a difference, yeah. There were times where I'm watching something and like, if I'm just sitting there,
you're like, holy
and tears
crap.
Are just kind of like falling
yep.
as you're watching.
And I'm just like, man, that just is good. It's so good. But like, I couldn't think of anything that would like struck me like the Do the Right Thing did where it like takes over for a while and you're like, man. I need to like unplug myself from this or like nothing that's really like hit me like personally, I guess.
You know.
And so I was trying to think if there was anything like that and I couldn't really come up with anything. But I do have a list of movies that I will like weep at.
So there's another one and interestingly enough it was you know another black movie with black movie maker
sure.
and black stars and close to the same time.
Okay.
Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
So, have you seen Boys in the Hood?
Yes.
So, I've seen that many, 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 many times.
Okay.
And it's
I'm
a
like
great,
once or twice. Yep.
It's a great, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple parts in there. When Cuba Gooding Jr. has the interaction with the cop, and the cop is kind of, like, bullying him, and he ends up crying, he goes back to his girlfriend's house,
right.
and he has this whole thing. But at the end when Ricky gets shot.
Oh yeah.
And they have to bring him back
yep.
and deal with it. For some you know no one in my neighborhood ever got shot
right.
in Chicago. But there were times when things okay. would happen. Like
this is heavy stuff. Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was a time when there was a something had happened and a guy had gotten his head with a brick or something, and it was a whole lot of blood, and he'd got like cracked in the head, and everybody in the block was like around, and it just reminded me, it just took me to some place,
right?
And so while I'm watching Boys in the Hood, it does the same thing to me. I don't think it's quite as strong,
yeah.
as Do the Right Thing, but it's still really really well done, and it's another tip of the cat,
yeah.
to the art of it. It's like that's just super well done.
Yep,
but. There are lots of movies that do that, and there sometimes are just moments.
Oh yeah,
like just like little moments where you're like, oh, maybe you might not weep, but
there are movies that I've seen time after time after time, and I still like tears. I cry
mm-hmm.
like tear like just real tears.
Uh-huh.
I'm not like sitting there sobbing like horribly like mm-hmm. but it's like silent crying. I'm
like,
just sitting there
control
and I'm
yourself.
Like,
no.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like it's a silent cry, but like
right.
I just sit there and like tears just blam and it just mm-hmm. hits me and I'm like golly. And I don't care. Like I'm not ashamed to admit it. But it's like I wrote down the movies that I could think of off the top of my head.
All right, cool. Let's hear them.
Dumbo. Number it was first one that I thought of. You're like movie or weepy
yeah.
things that make you cry, and I was like Dumbo.
Dumbo, and that's like because his
that's
mom dies,
one.
Right? Or
no,
her mom gets taken away.
They lock her up.
They lock her up, and she has her nose.
Yeah, he goes to visit her. And she like picks him up. And it's like the worst.
That's really
holy
good.
Cow.
That's really good.
It's rough. That's
yeah.
rough.
It's moment. Been a while since I've seen it, but I remember that as a child.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. As a kid, I was watching it. And I was like, man.
Because
like I was brought up by a single mom,
mm-hmm.
and like my dad was in the picture, but like obviously he wasn't there all the time,
right?
And so I was just like, man, if they took my mom away, like, how would I feel,
right?
And like, Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon. And a few of these things that I have written down are cartoons. And they're Disney.
Right on.
Because Disney does it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They suck, dude. They, like, they set it up and then just, like, nail it home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the worst. But it's good, too. Did you... Are you a fan of Toy Story?
I've seen Toy Story. I like it.
Have you seen Toy Story 2?
Yes.
Have you seen Toy Story 3?
No.
Okay.
But I know that it's tremendously moving.
You need to see Toy Story 3.
So tell me what happens. Okay, let me guess. I think they all get burned, right?
Few times in Toy Story 3.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And now what is it then? What is it about it?
So do you... Okay, so you remember Toy Story.
Yes.
And it's about Woody and Buzz, basically.
Right.
And then Toy Story 2 is about just Woody finding out that he's taken away from Andy, so it's like more based on the character of Woody.
Uh-huh.
And like he's finding out that he has, you know, he's part of a set and all this stuff, and he has a TV show and da 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 da. And so mm-hmm. the other toys are trying to get Woody back. So in the first one, they're like trying to convince Buzz that he's a toy, and the second one, they're trying to bring Woody back into the group.
Mm-hmm.
Third one is just all about the toys, only Andy's grown up and he's like moving off to college, and he has to decide what he's going to take. Is he going to take this? Is he going to take that? Is mm-hmm. he going to go in the garbage, or is he going to go in the attic? And he decides he's going to put the toys in the attic, but then there's a mix-up, and like the mom takes them. She's going to donate them. So she takes them to like preschool and donates them or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then they know that, like, Woody knows that he's supposed to take him to college, so they're in the attic, and so they're all trying to get back to the house. So it's like saves the day or whatever.
Right.
Oh, man. It's rough.
So
at one point in the movie, the bad toy, the bad guy, who's a pink, lovable, smells like strawberry teddy bear.
Right.
Like, sabotages their mission, and they end up at, like, some, like, trash plant, and they're, like, doing the garbage, and it's going in the incinerator,
uh-huh.
and all the toys end up in the incinerator.
They all burn up.
And it's like, they're sitting, they all fall in, and then it's like this, like, not a whirlpool, but like a slow-moving, like, sinkhole, right?
Uh-huh.
And just fiery pit in the center. And, like, just stupid toys, right? And, like, they just, like, look at each other, and they just, like, grab their hands. And they're like...
No, really?
They're like, this is the end. This is how we go. And then, just as they're about to fall in, like, it stops, and, like, they get out. But you think, like, they're burning to smithereens. Like, you're like, this is how it ends. Okay, great. How would you set us up for this?
They get out, huh?
They do get out. And then it's even worse...
Wait a minute.
Because that, like, it's sad because, like, they give up. It's like the only right. time in the whole series that you see them, like,
there's
no hope. Yeah. Like, there's no hope. Like, in the first one, like, they're even though Buzz is so adamant about being Buzz Lightyear, like, uh-huh. when they, like, convince him he's a toy, it's like, you know, whatever, we have to get back to whatever. In the second one, they're like, we need you back, Woody, whatever. And, like, no matter how adamant they are, there's always hope that, like, no, we'll get back to Andy or whatever. There's always that hope mm-hmm. in the movies. At this point, there's no hope. And they just, like, literally look at each other like, that was a good run, guys. And they grab hands, and they're all, like, sitting there. And if they could cry, they would be. But they can't because they're toys.
Right.
But you and the audience are like...
Well, that's what you... That's all I heard is like, oh, you cry like crazy in this movie.
But then they get out. And then it's... Like, that's the sad tears. And then they make it back home... And then Andy, like, goes to... He's going to keep the toys, but he's going to give them to this girl who needs toys. Mm-hmm. It's like a family friend, basically.
Right.
And she's, like, this six-year-old kid. And he knows that she would treat the toys like he treated the toys. And, like, it's going to be a good home for them and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he gets to the house. And he's just going to drop him off because he's on the way to college. But then, like, he sits there and starts playing, like... action figures with her and everything, and it's just like, man, he's playing with the toys one more time. And just like the way that they do it with the stupid Randy Newman music in the background, you're just right. like, oh man. Yeah. And it's like it's like a happy tears, but so it goes from like sad tears like they're just gonna die to like happy tears like, oh man, that's beautiful,
that's cool.
And it's a it's a cartoon.
Hey, man.
But those Pixar movies, man, they fuck me up, dude.
I guess I don't know if it's any harder or easier than doing it with live actors.
It's got to be
easier.
I would think it's harder.
But they do it so effectively that makes you think that, like...
Maybe it is easier.
I don't know. I mean, it's a kudos to the artists, I guess. Kudos to them. Kudos to Disney, you know.
And it does have to do with some of the, like, voice acting, too. Because, like, Lion King could be one, you know, mm-hmm. where, like, Mufasa dies. And, like, the sad part is when Simba finds him and he's trying to wake him up, and it's just, like, that Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like, teen, like, preteen, raspy, like, kid voice.
Right.
He's like, Dad, wake up!
Right,
Dad!
Right.
Dad! And it's like, whatever it is in his, like, the quality of his voice that he's, like, trying to get his dad to wake up, right. I think that's the more sad part. And plus, like, you see the dead dad, which typically doesn't happen in a Disney movie.
True.
Like, you typically don't see the dead parent. They're just mentioned or not even seen at all. But just something in the voices. So maybe it's, like, part of the voices, but then that's part of the act. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I want it. Maybe it is easier in cartoons. I don't know,
but it's well done.
Yeah.
Well done. All right, what else you got?
Top Gun.
Top Gun, huh?
Yep.
Fuck that movie.
I knew you were going to say that, so but it's that's on the
all
list.
Good. It's all good. So what happens in Top Gun? The goose dies.
Yes.
And I guess that's sad.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's sad. Way horrible.
I'm ruined on that movie.
I know you are. Know.
But like I mentioned so before, horrible. I was ruined on Forrest Gump too. And so, but
yep.
That one is a better movie.
Came around. Yeah, it is. It's
It's a much better
movie. Yeah, it's a way better movie.
So that one, like, it was easy to kind of, like, come back to. And yeah. And since then, like, so much so that, like, I think I mentioned before that I'm angry at the notion
right.
that was placed in my head by some fucking, like, you know, wannabe intellectual
right.
20-something, you know,
yeah.
snotty movie producer, movie reviewer right. in Seattle,
yep.
You know, who hates America.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so, like, lame.
And so, but I don't know. I certainly resonated with it when I read it. But
the, so the thing about, yeah, of course. But the thing about Top Gun is it's not when he dies, because that's rough. I mean, it's sad.
Right.
But it's later because Meg Ryan is the greatest.
She's very good.
And she's his wife
mm-hmm.
in the movie. And so, there's a point when Tom Cruise goes to the house to, like, drop off, like, the stuff that he had at the base, and he's, mm-hmm. like, gonna give it to Meg Ryan. And, like, she's sitting there, and it's just, like, it's all, like, dim lighting with, like, sun coming through the shades, you know? So, like, the cinematography of it's good. And she just starts crying. She gets up and hugs him, and she's, like, crying. She's, like, he would have flown without you. He would have hated it, but he'd have done it. And, like, it's her voice where you can tell she's just, like, fighting back, like, the super tears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, that line where it's, like, he'd have done it without you. He'd have hated it, but he'd have done it anyway. And you're just like, oh. Because, like, he's struggling. Like, he can't find, like, the will to go on or whatever. That's, mm-hmm. like, best friend from forever.
Right.
Oh, it's hard.
That's anyway, cool.
And, again, it's just a sad. I'm a stupid, emotional, sappy sapper. So if it's like a tinge of emotion, I'm, like, on board. And I'm like, here come the cries. Bring it on.
Yeah.
I have Ladder 49.
That I don't remember that.
Did you see the movie?
Is that Nicolas Cage?
Nope.
No.
Ladder 49 is John Travolta and Joaquin Phoenix.
Is it not 9/11 though?
And
right?
No.
Okay. It's not about 9/11.
No, that is World Trade Center.
That's with Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. I remember seeing that.
It was decent. Yeah, that's the one where they're stuck in the whatever. Ladder 49 is a firefighter movie. It's all about firefighters.
My bad.
And here's the tip. If it's about firefighters, you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if it's a movie about firefighters, one,
someone's
if
dying.
Not more, are going to die.
Right.
And it's going to suck. And so Ladder 49 is one of those movies.
Right on.
But Ladder 49 is right on the list before Million Dollar Baby. Have you seen this movie?
Oh, my God, dude. You
seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, I saw that movie with my dad.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, we saw that movie together.
Uh-huh. Did you see it in theaters? Or
in the theater.
Okay.
In the theater. And there were several things going through my head, but we saw that movie. It was... an hour, maybe, or so.
Yeah.
It was a long time. after the movie ended and we went to the car before we could talk.
Right.
Like, we couldn't talk.
Right.
Like, about anything. I think maybe we were like, wow, or whoa.
Right.
Or something like that. But it was like, that movie mm-hmm. was so emotionally, it wrapped you up in it so much.
Oh, yeah.
And
spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie, I am going to spoil it.
Spoil it away. It's 15 yeah. years old.
When I saw it, I thought for sure Eastwood was going to bite the bullet. I thought he was goner. I thought mm-hmm. he was going to train her up. I thought it was like Rocky style.
And that would be the thing, right? Because he's the older guy, and right. he's going to die, and now she has to live on. And
right. Nope. She gets... Oh, man. She
now, I got to tell you, though. Oh. That's one thing... The one problem that I have with that movie.
Yeah.
The way that she gets right. hurt is stupid.
Right. With the thing going in too early and like... Or whatever.
And like, it's like on the side. And then right. she falls. It's stupid. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is great. And Clint... And I think that might have been the time... When I was like, Clint Eastwood is good.
Right.
Like just yeah. at the end of that movie, just going, he's good.
Yep.
He's very, very good.
Yeah.
Even though he yells at Obama in an empty chair.
Empty chair.
But he is yeah. good.
But see, I can, like, again, I can pump the brakes on crazy if it's, like, for the movies.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
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 But yeah, like that movie. So my story with that. Go ahead, continue with your.
Well, that was pretty much it. That was just really well done.
Right.
She dies.
Yep.
She doesn't die. She doesn't die. She becomes.
He pulls the plug.
He kills her.
Yeah.
Like, but at her request.
Right. It's not. Yeah. It's. I mean.
It's euthanasia.
It's
essentially.
Horrible. It's horrible.
That's what's effective about that movie is right. you're watching it, and it's a great story of, you know, this older boxing trainer and this young female boxer and then right. finding the place, and they both, like, you know, and grow together. And,
right, because she's all young and cocky, and he's mm-hmm. all, you're doing everything wrong. And
yep.
And then she needs a father figure, and he's that for her, and mm-hmm. he needs, like... You know,
he needs a reason to keep doing it. Yeah.
And she's that, and like they just literally they like come together and form this like beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
and of course, the natural thing that happens is the old guy dies, right. and then she lives on.
Nope.
But they throw you a big curveball, and yeah. she dies.
She gets hit,
or she
gets hit, and like goes down and like hits the stool or bucket or whatever it is, and like can't walk anymore. She can't do anything.
Right.
She's like a vegetable. Like a conscious vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And she asks him to...
She says, please kill me.
Yep. Yep. And he does it. You do not think that ending comes out of so far out of left field.
Yeah.
I mean, but not in a bad way. I mean, the way that she gets hurt is...
It's kind of dumb.
Is a bad way.
Yeah.
But you forget that.
Right.
And you go on with it because the rest of the story is told so well.
Yep.
That, like, yeah, it... You don't see that coming. And
yeah.
so I think that's probably why my dad and I didn't talk for so long after that movie was like, neither of us were thinking that this is where this was going.
Right.
And I don't think anybody who saw that movie thinks that this is where it's going.
Nope. But everyone thinks that Eastwood's dead. You're like, he's going to die.
Right.
Because like I heard it was sad and I was like, okay, it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like started watching it and I was like, well, clearly Eastwood's going to die.
Right.
And then it's not what happens at all.
And then, oh, dang it, what's her name, the actress?
Hillary Swank
is very good.
Yeah.
She's very, I don't know if you ever saw Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, yeah. That one's great, too.
She is the shit.
Yep.
And so I think she won an Academy Award for both of those.
I think maybe.
But one of them. Well-deserved.
Yeah. So my story with both of those, I think I might have told you one point, but I was living with my buddy Nick, who's been on the show.
Right.
And he was off on like a date, and I was like sitting there like, I'm going to watch HBO or whatever, and like mm-hmm. Ladder 49, I was like, I heard this is good. And I turn on Ladder 49, and like literally like right at the end when it's like horribly depressing and sad,
mm-hmm.
I'm like sitting there like literally hugging a pillow, like a box of tissues, like, mm-hmm. he like opens the door with like his date.
That's cool. This is how long ago was this?
Oh, like 2005.
So probably maybe not at the point yet where you're comfortable like saying this is a good movie.
Oh no, yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so you didn't then either.
No.
Yeah.
But like it was just funny because like, he comes home with like a date, and I'm yeah. like literally
and
like
you probably like made you laugh a little bit. You're like, I'm yeah, sorry, I'm like, crying like a baby.
I am weeping.
This movie.
I was like, whatever you guys do tonight, don't watch Ladder 49.
Yeah.
But like it was like, you know, you take a picture of anybody like when you imagine like somebody that's watching a sad movie. You picture them, and they're in, like, pajama pants, a t-shirt, like, with a big pillow, and, like, the lights are all off.
Right.
Like, full, that's, and I had a, that's exactly what I look like, in, like, PJ pants and, like, a big pillow.
Right.
Like, a box of tissues, like, super stereotypical, like, anybody.
Right.
And I'm just, like, wiping my eyes and, like, blowing my nose, and the door opens, and I'm like, hi. And then literally a week later, literally the exact same thing, I watch A Million Dollar Baby, and the exact same thing happened.
Oh, really?
So, like, the two times that this woman saw me, I'm, like, sitting
your
there.
Your roommate's a big whiny bitch.
Like, what is wrong with that guy? All he does is sit in his pajamas watching depressing movies? Like, what? So,
that's
I was
what
like.
What I do, okay?
But, yeah. The both, and, like, I watch them both by myself, and, like, it's not worse if you watch a movie by yourself. It's almost worse if there's other people there. But it's the worst when you're with other people that aren't emotional.
Right. You were like, what's wrong with you?
Where it's like, I never try to hide it. Like, I'm never going to not cry if it's sad because, like, I just can't. I'm just not going to be like, or, like, put my hand up and, like, I'm not crying. I just gotta blow my nose. I'm fine. Like, I don't care. If it makes you cry, then great. But if it doesn't make you cry, then I look at you like you're heartless. Like, you can't turn it on me.
Yeah.
And be like, look, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying?
I'm like, because I have feelings and I have emotions.
Yeah, because that made me cry. Like, inside out. Like, that's the worst, dude.
I don't have these emotional blocks up that are keeping me from experiencing life. So.
Inside Out. Did you watch Inside Out?
Yes.
Did you cry when you watched Inside Out?
I did.
And did you cry at the Bing Bong part? Or did you cry other moments? That's another one that I will drop tears more than once.
I think the thing that
hit me hard.
The thing that, for me, the most was... Okay, for sure. Like, there's no question for me. Like, Bing Bong was sad. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. Bing Bong was terribly sad.
Yep.
But for me, it was more... the character of sadness. I don't know if that was her name. Mm-hmm. It was just sadness. Sadness.
Mm-hmm.
That and how she was always being dismissed and pushed to the side.
Right.
And it and like the realism. And I'm like, remember crying and watching this, like, and going, yeah. Sometimes you have you know, this
have
is a good,
to be sad.
Yeah, and it's a good lesson for your friend who won't cry.
Right.
You know, it's like you have to feel this.
You have, like, to be sad in order to get to the happy. Because, like, all the happy moments that you see throughout the beginning of the movie, where it's like, we won or whatever, and, like, there's, like, the parents hugging her and, like, everyone's happy. But, like, right before that, she's super sad and depressed because she missed the shot.
Right.
But then the team doesn't care. So then the team shows up and they're like, we love you anyway. And that's, like, you see the happy moment, but you don't see the sad moment before.
Right.
And so, like, it totally does, like,
and
give
she's
you...
and the entire time she's like,
can't be sad, pushing her away,
and, like, distracting her and sending her off, and you know, and so, yeah. So I remember, like, this movie's true. You have to feel sad sometimes, like, yeah. So yeah, definitely, I weeped at that movie for sure.
Yep, another cartoon.
Another cartoon it wasn't
Pixar.
That's Pixar.
Pixar knows what they're doing.
So Pixar's Toy Stories.
Oh yeah,
but and then they Disney or no?
They yeah.
So they
Disney bought them.
Okay.
Disney Pixar, yeah.
Okay,
but they are the Disney does make those movies that look like Pixar movies, but they're not. They're just there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Another Pixar is The Good Dinosaur, which I
didn't see.
I cried a little bit. That's just like any of those movies though, where they come together like unlikely pair, and then like it's a human
one of them dies.
And a dinosaur, and no, the human has to go back with the humans.
Ah.
At the end of the movie.
Huh.
And, like, the dinosaur knows it.
Huh.
And so, basically, the dinosaur is the person, and the person is the pet, if that makes any sense, because he's a caveman, and so he's, like, doesn't know anything. And so the dinosaur, like, brings him along and, like, allows him to, like, whatever. But then at the end, when they're, like, finally, like, getting along and tag-teaming and being perfect, like, buddies, like, the humans, he sees the humans, like... And he has to
Now finally I found my humans.
Sees the humans and like kicks the kid to the curb and like you have to go with your people. And it's like, oh man, that's rough.
Uh-huh.
It's not like as sad as any other ones, but like it still got me a little bit. And the last one that I have, which also gets me more than this is a movie that makes me cry more than any other movie.
Uh oh. All right.
Multiple times. Nope.
Okay.
It's Meet Joe Black.
You know, I need to see that movie. I've seen bits of it, and I've really enjoyed it. Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt.
Uh-huh.
And Brad Pitt plays Death.
Yep. He plays, yes, He plays Death, who's trying to discover why people think it's worth living.
Huh.
And Anthony Hopkins, he comes to get Anthony Hopkins. And then he makes him a deal. He's like, I won't take you until, you know, I learn what I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls in love with his daughter. And, like, he realizes, like, what life is all about and, like, all this stuff. And, like, ugh. And Anthony Hopkins is just the best.
He's a great actor.
Golly.
He's a great, and like, great actor.
Because he knows he's going to die because he's like makes a deal with Death, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he knows like the clock's ticking the whole movie. And so you know that watching. Right. You're like, oh, man, Anthony Hopkins is going to die.
Sooner or later, yeah.
Yeah. And so like the way he like carries himself and like interacts with his daughters and like how one daughter feels like she's, you know, overlooked by the other daughter. And so the one daughter's, like, planning this huge birthday party for him, and, like, typically he doesn't care, and he's, like, cold and, like, doesn't care about that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, when they have this huge celebration for him, she's planning it, he goes to her and, like, specifically tells her, like, you know, I love you, and, like, I'm glad that you do this type of stuff for me, and I'll never forget it. And you're just like, oh! That's number one.
Uh-huh.
That's right. The tears number one.
Right.
And then the next time he, like, talks to his other daughter, and you're like, oh, man. There's tears number two. And then he's talking to like Brad. It's just, there are so many moments in that movie where you're just like, man, Anthony Hopkins is amazing.
Right on.
Golly.
Meet Joe Black has been like, yeah, I need to see that.
It will make you emotional.
That's cool. that's really cool. That's yeah. really cool.
So, That's my very short list that I came up with in a matter of a few minutes.
I didn't make a list, right. but there are a few that like came to mind.
Like every time, like when you watch it every time, you're gonna like tears.
Right. Obviously, Field of Dreams for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Which we've talked about before.
Yep.
We've talked about also baseball and the. And particularly the father-son relationship and baseball.
Correct.
You know, and that's not it sexist in any way.
Right.
But it's just, that's just the way it is.
Well, that's like what Matt hit on last week when he was like, my dad and I couldn't talk about anything.
Right.
But yeah, we could talk about baseball.
Right.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and then they explain all that so well in Field of Dreams, right. You know, and that there's this game and him and his dad. And
yep.
And his dad's passed, and you know, he has a catch with his dad at the end. Yes, you know, that's brilliant. It's brilliant, and it's super emotional. So, but there's a movie, Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Okay.
Which is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I've seen parts of that movie.
Great movie. It's based about chess and about chess prodigy kid.
Correct.
They find out that he's super good at chess.
Right.
And
when they're like gonna compete him against Russia,
well,
China.
Well, they just are gonna feed that right. that passion that he Correct. Has, or that talent that he right. has, because it's not necessarily a passion,
right?
But it just happens to be something that he's super duper good at.
Yep.
And there's a couple parts in that where the teacher, who I think it's Laura Linney, maybe, and good. She says she's kind of dismissive. To Joe Pantoliano, who plays...
Oh, yeah, Joey Pants?
Not him, Joe Mantegna.
Oh, okay, yep.
Joe Mantegna is the dad. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know if this chess thing is really worth his thing. And he's like, all right, look, don't... Chess thing, you're being dismissive when you say that. You know, he's like, you won't understand. He's like... I will never, ever be as good at anything in my life as he is at chess.
Right.
He's like, you don't understand like how much, how good he is and how special it is. And you just saying chess thing is so dismissive to it. And he just kind of feeds this, like how much he cares for this kid, and how special he is.
Right.
And so there's that part, like that part was really good.
Right.
But there's another part where they're struggling about whether or not how they're handling it. Joe Mantegna and his wife, who is an actress that I can't think of right now, but she's popular. And they're talking about it. And he had just had like a bad outing, like at a chess meet.
Yeah.
He had lost. And they're trying to like talk about it and figure it out. And he's like, I don't know. It's like, he's afraid. he's afraid of losing.
Right.
And she's like, he's not afraid of losing. He's afraid of losing your love. He's doing this for you. Like, he's playing chess for you. And she's like, she says, how many baseball players do you think come up to bat every time afraid of losing their father's love? And Joe Mantegna says, all of them. Oh, dude, every time. Every time.
Yeah.
I watch that, I just like, oh, it's just like a knife in the heart. It's like, oh, yes. All of them. Mm-hmm. So that's just such a, I just want to hug the writer who wrote that line.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, you really
nailed it.
You nailed that.
Yeah.
You completely nailed that. And like, that's the art. Like, I'm impressed with that art.
Yep.
That does that.
That's awesome.
So, other movies, let's see. Recently, you know, it's funny because I was searching on HBO, and every now and then you go through HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see like movies that are on that they don't really promote.
Right.
But they're older movies that are in rotation now. And so, I was super excited and posted about it the other night that Broadcast News was on.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And I don't know if you've ever watched that movie.
Nope.
But it's a great movie. It's a great movie that came out in the 80s. And this movie, for me, did you see Roxanne?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So it came out close to the time Roxanne did.
Okay.
And when it came out, they both kind of have similar themes in a way. Broadcast News has a much broader theme. Of course, Roxanne is a modern retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac. But Broadcast News is a lot more social stuff. But it's still, the central storyline is these three characters. And Albert Brooks is a smart, yet nerdy guy who's in love with, who's very good friends with.
Right.
But you realize he's also in love with Holly Hunter,
mm-hmm.
who's a very smart, nerdy, attractive woman, mm-hmm. who they're in the same field. And there's William Hurt, who is a very pretty and more shallow.
Right.
But not a bad guy. Like, I used to, like, really, like, I used to, because you identify with the characters, and then you end up hating the other one.
Of
so
course.
I was Albert Brooks. Like, by far, I was Albert Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Who's, because we always have, I did, and I think a lot of folks do, have these issues about whether or not how the opposite sex or whoever they want to be attractive is feels about them.
Oh yeah,
like whether or not they're attractive to the people that they want to be attractive to.
Correct.
And so that move, and that's the same kind of story with Roxanne.
Oh right,
is because of his physical
appearances don't necessarily matter. Right.
Right. And so there's in Broadcast News, he's trying to like live his life and also tell her how he feels about her.
Right.
And oh God, and it just eats me up because because she, although that they feel the same way, Albert Brooks and Holly Hunter's character feel the same way. And in fact, that's part of the whole story, is this flash over substance idea that even though they know this,
right,
they have this wonderful guy
on it. Right.
Well, yeah, that like she, and I don't know if it's a sexist writing in it. You know, it is written by a man,
right?
But by saying that the woman is incapable of
choosing the real relationship over the
flashy
one,
you know. But it's real. It's super real. Nice. Like, it's super duper real. I think anybody who's ever lived knows sometimes the girl or guy will go with somebody who's.
Well, it's just like, which one was it? 16 Candles or is it Pretty in Pink? Which one's the
80s one? Pretty in Pink is the one, yeah.
Where you're rooting for the nerd. She's going to pick the nerd, obviously, but then she picks the jock anyway. You're
right.
Like, he's a dick. Why are you doing that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
is that Pretty in Pink?
That is Pretty in Pink. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, with Ducky.
Ducky.
Yeah,
right. Right. Where you're like, clearly you picked Ducky.
Right.
But she doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's... She is telling him, and it's funny because now William Hurt's character isn't nearly as bad as I like see him.
Right.
He's just
another guy,
and he's aware of his shortcomings. He's like, look, I don't know these things, you know, but I want to be. But he's also charming.
Yeah,
he's super charming and he's very pretty and attractive. And I think that's what we all want, is like the attractive person with depth.
Right.
I think we want with depth.
Yeah.
but sometimes it feels like, you know, that's not as important as being pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he kind of professes his love for her, and he says after she tells him that she's falling in love with the other guy.
Right.
And that scene, and he's like, "Oh, get out of my house. Get out of my house. I'm serious. Get out." And then they have a big fight. And she's like, "This is important to me." He's like, "I think it's important for you too." He's like, "But listen to me. Tom, for being a very nice guy, is the devil." It's like, "No, I'm serious here. How do you think he's going to look? Or how he's going to be? He's not going to be, you know, with horns going, ah. He's going to be a very attractive guy who never harms anyone, who never does anything consciously hurt another living soul. But little by little, he lowers your standards where it's really important." And I'm like, "God, that's good. Yeah. That's good." And then, they end up
getting together.
No.
Oh, no, they don't.
They don't.
She chooses the pretty guy?
She chooses the pretty guy, but they end up... She chooses the pretty guy, except she finds out something about him that you find out earlier in the movie, that she finds out something that is just past her lines of what's acceptable.
Gotcha.
And she ends it with him. And so no one gets together.
Got
so
it.
It's a little depressing.
Well, it's all good,
that
though.
Way. But
as long as you're like, she didn't choose the wrong guy.
She didn't choose the wrong guy.
Right.
And her and they be still stay friends.
Yeah.
And they were always like super good friends.
That's awesome.
But they stay friends.
Things that I didn't write down that deserve not necessarily to be on the list, but any movie that has a dog in it.
Oh, did you ever see Old Yeller?
Oh yeah, dude.
Old Yeller.
So I'm very much a dog person.
Right.
I love dogs.
Me too.
Love dogs.
Uh-huh.
So if there's a dog movie, much like a fireman movie,
that's gonna be tears.
If it's a dog centric movie, the dog is not gonna make it. Spoiler alert.
Right.
It's just not gonna happen.
Uh-huh.
So like a movie like Old Yeller or Marley and Me. Did you ever see Marley and Me?
I didn't, but because you know what?
Samantha refuses to watch it because she knows she's going to hate it.
Well, they don't promote it as a touching thing. They promote it as a kind of a goofy comedy.
Oh, no, dude. It's
but it's super sad.
It's
That's what everyone
dog.
Says.
Yeah. It's 100% the story about the dog.
But they, yeah.
And Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston, believe it or not, are good in this movie.
Like, I believe it. I think they're both
like
good.
Owen Wilson's good, but typically he's not like, you're not like, oh, man,
he's not
a
moving.
Great actor.
Yeah.
Right. But man, woof.
Okay, I'm gonna have to see that one day.
It's it'll rip your guts out. Well, just like a movie that's not sad or whatever, but Legend, I Am Legend, the Will Smith apocalypse movie.
I think I saw that, and the dog dies.
His best friend in the world is a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
The only human or the only living thing that's not affected by zombieism or whatever that he has in his life is his German Shepherd, and then she like gets bitten.
And yeah,
he has to kill the dog.
Yeah.
And it's just like the worst. And like the whole camera shot.
That's
like,
Old Yeller too, right?
It's like, the kid has to shoot the dog.
Right.
He used to shoot him. Because that's how you did it back in the day. Like a horse breaks his leg, we'll take it back and we'll shoot it.
Yeah.
Old Yeller gets rabies or something and like has to get
shot
in the face.
Right.
So the Will Smith movie, it's like his dog, the shot, he starts with just like petting the dog or whatever. And like, you know, it's coming, like, you know, it's coming, and it's just like, he's talking to like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And then like the camera like pans in and it's just on his face. And like, you can just see his like muscles tense. Like he's just choking the dog. And like, it's just on his face. And like, it's just that Will Smith, like perfect face. Because he's like a beautiful, beautiful being.
Uh-huh.
Like, it just gets that like tenseness in your face when you know like you're doing something that you don't want to have, but you have to do. And like, there's just like the one tear that comes out and it's just silent. And you're just like, oh, he's killing his best friend. It's a dog. And it's the worst.
Oh, that's well done.
It's horrible.
That's well done.
It's the worst. So any dog, anything with a dog, that'll get me 100% of the time. And then like there's like the movies that do it on purpose, like The Notebook.
Dude, okay.
The Notebook, okay. Where they do it 100%, it's the only purpose is Or another example along those lines is what's that Keanu Sweet November? Did you ever see that
nope,
movie?
Never saw it.
Okay. Or A Walk to Remember?
Nope.
Nicholas Sparks again.
Right.
The same thing.
The whole thing is geared up to a certain point of emotional.
A Walk to Remember
climax is going to make you weep.
The jockey kid just falls for like the intellectual, like soft spoken, not you know nerdy girl of sorts, and. She like teaches him to be a better person and like da 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 and like they start to fall in love and it's pointless because she's literally like terminal illness dying. And so you're just like, why
to deliver the goods this? To deliver the goods.
So it's saying it's Nicholas Sparks is like
he's very good
that.
At it. He's like, dude, the Notebook. I'm serious, dude. When I saw the Notebook for the first time,
but they do it on purpose. So that's why I didn't necessarily put it on the list because it's like it's cheating almost. It's like you suck. Like,
no, it's not if you're doing it good. Clearly, yeah. Disney's doing it on purpose too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But the way that they develop the story and let the story out in Notebook,
right?
And you, spoiler alert, like you if you haven't seen it, it's at least 10 years old.
Oh, that's way old. Yeah.
So there's this, you know, there's the older couple, but you're telling the story about the younger couple,
correct?
And then. Literally until the moment
the end of the movie
where he's reading the story to the woman
and it clicks
for her and she says, oh my god, it was us.
It's us.
Oh my god, dude. I was like inconsolable. I'm just like, oh my god, that was beautiful.
It's like the internet videos where you like the grandma or whatever has like super dementia or something, and like the daughter will like sing her favorite song, or they'll put like headphones on them, and they're in the you just see them like come to life of sorts. Yeah. It's the same thing where like in the movie she has like super Alzheimer's or something.
Yeah, some kind of dementia.
And like
or
he
something.
Just goes there and reads them
patiently
their
patiently,
love story.
Yeah, every day
over and over and over again. So he can get a brief, like, 30 seconds with
her.
Again.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. That's fucking
but when she realizes so it, and she's like, oh, my God, it was us.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And, like, they just...
Yeah. And it's like, how long do we have? Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Not much
know.
Time.
Yeah.
And then to top it all off, they go to bed that night, and they both die. Like, they both die.
They got... Yeah, that was sad, but that wasn't.
But it's not. It's not the tear.
Nah, the moment.
Part.
Yeah, the moment is definitely like it was us.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, because you don't see it coming. Right. Like I did not see that coming at all.
Right.
And if you watch the movie now and you've never seen it, you're going to see it coming. But still,
right.
It's freaking great. It's great.
Yep.
So
that one I didn't put on the list, but that's one of the ones that's on there.
That's all good.
Yeah.
So where are we at now?
Who knows? Probably enough.
Probably good.
We can end.
You know, and if we get inspired, we can maybe like throw a clip in.
Yeah.
You know, if we get inspired. This week is not going to happen.
Maybe. I do have tomorrow off, and I'll be bored out of my morning. Well, that's not true. There's a baseball game on at noon. Woo, woo.
You can watch baseball and edit some.
I could find some movie clips, the things we talked about.
The ones we talked about, yeah.
I could maybe do that. Maybe.
I think that might add a lot.
So if you heard clips in this episode, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks. Thank you to Jared.
And if you didn't, then I'm lazy.
You can, yeah, use your imagination.
Just go watch them.
Yeah,
just go watch them. Right? They're available to watch somewhere.
Yep. Well, it was cool, dude. We were talking about doing that as a topic, and it's a good topic. It's a very good topic. And I think there are lots of folks who would be like, oh, I want to talk about that. Or,
yeah, it's true. So. And if you are listening and you do have something to add to this list, please, please, please reach out to us right now since the episode is over. Go to us on Facebook.
We'll do part two if we want to.
Or tweet at us at Life's a Binge. I will get the tweets. And coming, not this episode, but very soon, we do have a quote-unquote sponsor in the works.
Oh, right on. Who is it a secret? Or
talk
about later?
And you know what? I'm going to do it right now.
All
right. It's not going to get you as listeners anything, but us as us. you can check him out. It is BJ McEvely's cousin has a clothing company, an outdoor clothing company called Black Fin Outfitters. Mm-hmm. And so check them out. You can find them online, Facebook and Instagram at Black Fin Outfitters. And they're like outdoor, like sportwear, like fishing and boating and all that kind of stuff. But It's also just comfortable. Like, everyone wears their yoga pants and stuff nowadays, but you can just wear like an outdoor hoodie wherever. So check them out. They are going to give us a promo code that will get you discounts on their merch, but that doesn't exist just yet. But check them out anyway, because they're coming soon.
And we'll give you that code another day.
You're going to hear us talk about them, because that's what they're wanting us to do.
Blackfin, y'all.
Blackfin Outfitters.
Blackfin.
Correct.
Blackfin.
Blackfin Outfitters. Yep. Check them out
on Facebook and Instagram. Clothes retail.
Outdoor clothing. Yeah, exactly. Check them out. But anyway, that's officially coming soon, but check them out right now. And if you have anything to add to this What Makes You Cry list, typically we post a thing on Facebook before we do it, but you know what? I'm going to post it now. And they're just having to deal with it. If they want to talk about it, they can come talk about it.
Hey, there's plenty we didn't talk about. Oh, so yeah. If we ever wanted to do another one with a guest or
something. See, that's the thing. Whenever we talk about anything, whether it's like the theme songs or
anything.
Yeah. I just imagine, because when I listen to stuff, I'm like, oh, they're going to mention Marley and Me. Duh. Like, it's a dog movie. It's the worst. It's going to make him cry. And then they don't mention it. You're like, but that's the one that made.
Right. There's plenty, there's plenty that we didn't talk about for each of us that I'm sure that we're like both going to be going, like, oh, yeah, there's this one.
Anything Disney. Dude.
So that's
Land Before Time is the worst also, that stupid movie. Anyway, so it's always cartoons for me.
It's all good.
Not always. But anyway, if there's anything, just hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, anything. We will find you and we will kill you. Wait, that's Liam Neeson. We will find you and get you as a guest.
We don't have the skills.
Right. We'll just welcome you as a guest. Yes,
that we can do.
But anyway, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow.
Right?